With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness and try his patience. Actually, before I start my homily, Friday we all went out and made sandwiches at the Oktoberfest booth, our staff did, and I was right next to the goober and the pickle putter otter, that was fun for a couple hours, and then they put me up in front for sales. I had trying to look for people I knew, and somebody came up and they said, what's in that sandwich? What kind of meat is it? And I said, it's mystery meat. So anyway, they pulled me off of that job real quick. Losing too many sales, but getting a lot of laughs, you know. When I was a child, my father used to watch Lawrence Welk a lot. Did anybody here get tortured mercilessly by Lawrence Welk growing up? I kind of like it now. I don't know what that says about me. It's getting to be a very scary world out there, you know. So one of the unfortunate ramifications of that is that my dad thought, wouldn't it be cool if Gary learned how to play the accordion? You know, you already know I used to play the accordion. There are more priests in ministry that play the accordion than anything else. I don't know why that is. So I wasn't particularly good at it, and I didn't care for it too much. And so I had a little miniature version of it somebody gave me I was going to bring to the booth, but I forgot, and it's a good thing I did, because it would have driven the customers away probably. But when I got into the fifth or sixth grade, I decided I wanted to play the drums, and that was the end of the accordion. And so we got rid of that. And, you know, I was pretty good at the drums, actually. And then we moved to California. Uh-oh. I entered the seventh grade, and I joined the band there. I was in the percussion department. I was one of these kids that looked about 3 years younger than my age. Would put me in about the fourth grade when I was in the seventh grade. Not a good thing, and if any of you have experienced this, great when you get older, but not too good at that age. So I got picked on. I was real short, and I didn't like wearing my glasses. So I would put them in a case that was clipped to my belt. That's not cool in any decade. And unfortunately, it's probably true now, I forgot to ask Joe about this, but I think the coolest kids are the ones that think they're the coolest usually end up in percussion, partly because they're in the back where they can goof off, you know, the most. And so, anyway, imagine me getting in with this group of so-called cool kids. They were big kids. They were in the ninth grade. And so, anyway, they picked on me mercilessly, and they used to steal my glasses case, which is really awful because I couldn't see anything. And they'd steal my drumsticks, and anyway, they made me quite miserable, and I quit the band, and that was the end of that. And they went on to high school next year, 10th grade, and then I forgot about them. Got to high school, and I remember my first day in high school, which is always a little bit scary. These kids, I ran into this group of kids. They were still hanging out together, and they caught me outside of the school. They surrounded me, about eight of them, with me in the middle. Really scary. Just then my mother drove by and picked me up. It was the first and only time she did that in high school. So I was very grateful to be rescued. But they continued to bug me in PE, which is another one of my least favorite subjects. They had me playing football. You can see that was not one of my callings. They put me in tackle. These kids were also playing, and they ranged themselves to be opposite me. And they tackled me so hard, they quite deliberately broke my wrist. And so I walked around with a sling for a cast. First Lawrence Welk, and now my mind is going. What's next? So they picked on me quite a bit. Now, that's a background to the rest of the story. About 10 years later, maybe a little longer than that, I was working at the airline, and I went to a JCPenney downtown in Westchester, where I live. I came out of there, and there was a truck there unloading something, and somebody came over to me, and they said, do you recognize me? And I said, no. Do I know you? And he said, yes. I'm the one who broke your arm. I'm the one who stole your drumsticks. I'm the one who kept taking your glasses case. It has bothered me for the last 15 years. Can you forgive me? You ever had that happen to you? And I was celebrating Mass after I told that story last night, and it comes back to me as if it were yesterday. Both what they did and the incredible forgiveness that came later. God arranged that probably for your benefit so I could tell the story, but also for his benefit. He had the grace to actually be able to say he was sorry to someone whose conscience had been bugging him about all those years. And who hasn't been either a bully or being bullied, you know? That bullying is not new, and it still goes on in school. And it can have the most profound effects on people's lives. What do we do when we need to be forgiven and we can't find the person we did it to, huh? What do we do? Well, fortunately, the church has a grace called the sacrament of confession, where you can say out loud to the Lord, and I take his place in there only in the sense that it's my ministry, and he will come in and heal that memory. But it's funny, when you have been misjudged by someone or picked on, and you were innocent, as Christ was in the first reading, you took the role of Christ, and you did not know it. I was Christ in that story to that classmate of mine. We see it clearly in the gospel, where our Lord says, "Let the little children come to me, for it is him." Christ is hidden in the children in the gospel. And Christ is hidden in anybody who is unjustly treated in this world. We're going to be very surprised on the last day to see what roles we had. Most of us have probably been on both sides, both dishing it out at times and also receiving it mercilessly. Both of these are ways that God can heal us if we let him. You find this in the gospel too, where Christ tells them, "Oh, I'm going to go to my death, even though he's innocent. And then I'm going to rise again from the dead." And they just don't know what to do with this. But what do we find them talking about right after that? "I'm better than you are. I'm the one that's first." No, I am. He's first. These are judgments that we make about other people. What do I do when you criticize someone? Aren't you saying, "I'm better than you, and therefore I can stand and judge you? I'm going to be your judge and maybe your executioner with my mouth and maybe with my actions." Oh, really? There are times we have to call a sin, and there are times we have to discuss things. But how do I use my tongue? We tend to put people in categories, and these are not always negative, but we do tend to classify people. He's conservative, he's liberal, she's Democrat, he's Republican, black, white, oriental, rich and poor, your address, how you look, whether we are in perfect health or perhaps have some visible difficulties. And we judge people and put them in categories this way. Our Lord tells us this is very lethal. And it's always him. Always him. So our Lord gives us tools. If you have been on the receiving end of this, you can come to the Lord because you know Christ himself was innocent and you bore something for him even though you didn't know it. You have a friend in Christ if you have been bullied at work or at home or at school. This is very exciting. Our Lord always takes the side of the oppressed, always, sooner or later. if I've done something to someone else with my mouth or in other ways, I can also, in addition to confession, I can also model how to forgive. I mentioned this last on Mercy Sunday. There are three pillars of forgiveness in the scriptures. The first is, how do I treat the other person? In other words, what am I saying about the person that hurt me? Must I tell everyone? Can I not talk about them in a negative way? This is the key to being healed. It's the key to whether or not I've really begun to forgive, is if I can keep my mouth shut. There's a time to talk and a time to be silent. Most of the time, it's a call to be silent. Not to forget, not to excuse, but also not to air it to everyone. The second one, if I have been treated badly, I need to forgive by praying for that person. If it comes to mind often, say a quick prayer for that person every time it comes to mind. Very powerful for your enemy and also for you. The third pillar, if I see the person, I must treat them kindly. I don't have to love them. Excuse me, I don't have to like them. I don't have to go to dinner with them. I don't have to be best friends. I do have to be kind. This is what Christ did. Those are the three pillars of forgiveness. When we do that, we become like Christ. So as we go through life, Christ will come in various disguises in our lives. We do not always recognize him. He will often come as someone that we are not expecting, or perhaps as somebody that we may have hurt along the way. He waits for us to ask his forgiveness. When we do that, we become peacemakers. I want to finish with what St. James said in the second reading. Got to get to it, though. The wisdom from above is pure, peaceful, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruit. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. So let us then be peacemakers, and may the peace of the Lord be with you always.